Well, we had a good message, didn't we?
Amen.
And if you plant gardens, make sure to plant collard greens. I've decided I like them now. And so if you take it literally, make sure you plant that kind of garden. But praise the Lord. I appreciate that, brother. That was a blessing. And preacher asked me to introduce Brother Don Chitty. He is our missionary to New Mexico. And I'm sure he'll tell you a little bit about it. Most of you, I hope most of you. How many of you were not here last year when Brother Chitty preached? You weren't with us. All right. Well, praise the Lord. There's plenty of you. He is our missionary. And let me say this. I don't know any better way to honor this man. My pastor that I grew up under is the same age as Pastor Carter and cut from the same cloth. And I remember as a youth pastor there, I remember him one day telling my teenagers I'd ripped their faces off. I don't know if y'all know what kind of preaching that is, but I mean, that's hard preaching when you rip somebody's face off. Amen. I got done really ripping into them, and my preacher got up behind me and said, "Now listen, Brother Barry's old Tommy." And I went, "My preacher just said I'm old Tommy." Amen. I mean, everybody else would have took that like that was a hard preaching, but you know, I thought there's some men in this life, and you preacher boys, you know, there's some men that I want to be cut from that kind of cloth. I mean, you know, I've heard people say, you know, I would like to run with the war horses and not the show ponies. And this man's a war horse. And Brother Chitty is my friend, and he's not only served our country well and is an honored veteran, but he's a veteran of the Lord's army.
Amen.
And Brother Chitty, you come and preach to us tonight.
Amen. I found out something about being down here. Y'all have this thing called football. Now you say, Brother Chitty, that everybody has football. Oh, no, you don't understand. Down here, you have football. Good night. You live it. You breathe it. It's the craziest thing. I was up in North Florida. Then I went to Georgia. Amen. Then I'm down here, and I'm seeing Central Florida signs, undefeated, world champions. South Florida only lost one game. I mean, it's a religion. You talk more about that, you do Jesus. If you had a chance of your team winning or someone going to hell, they'd just have to go to hell. It's just one of the most amazing things I've ever seen down here. I mean, it's football. It's football down here. It's not a sport. It's a religion. It's so different down here than all the other places you'll ever go. It's crazy. Mimes of a guy. One time this coach got his team together, and he said, "We got one game left, guys. We're undefeated. The team we're playing today is undefeated. The difference is we have never been conference champs. In all these years, we've never been conference champs. If we win this game, we'll make history. For the first time in history, we'll be conference champs. Let's go get them." Boy, they came out of there like crazy. Boy, they came out first half, they're winning 21-0. Started the second half, and their starting quarterback got hurt. But they played him anyway. Before long, it's 21-21. The game is almost over. The quarterback just couldn't go. No matter how big of a heart he had, he just couldn't go any longer. So the coach called the second-string quarterback, and he said, "Now, son, you listen to me, and you listen carefully. We have never been conference champs. The score is 21-21. We're fixing to get this ball. Here's what I want you to do. If we can just tie the game, not lose it, don't throw an interception. If we can just tie the game, we'll be co-conference champions. That would still be a record for us. Now I want you to do exactly what I tell you. Now you listen carefully, because I want it done just this way. On first down, I want you to run a quarterback sneak. What are you going to do first down? Sir, I'm going to run a quarterback sneak. And second down, I want you to run a quarterback sneak. Third down, I want you to run a quarterback sneak. You got all that? Yes, sir. And fourth down, I want you to just kick that ball just as far as you can punt it. You understand me? Repeat it." And the guy repeated it to him. He said, "That's right. That's exactly what you want you to do." They kick off. The team gets the ball. He runs a quarterback sneak for 42 yards. Second down, he runs a quarterback sneak for 15 yards. Third down, he runs a quarterback sneak to the 2-yard line. Fourth down, he tucked the ball and punted it as far out of the end zone. And the coach broke his clipboard. He's slinging things, says words like you folks down here in the South when you're playing football. He got so angry, he took that kid off to the side. He said, "What in the world were you thinking? What were you thinking?" He said, "I was thinking you're the dumbest coach that ever lived." Amen. Find, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. What a joy to be here. I had such a good time last year. I couldn't wait. And when the preacher asked me, and Brother Barry called me, it's a privilege. I appreciate that so much. I did not know I was going to be down here with Brother Wilkerson. Then when I heard about that, I got nervous. Having me preach for Brother Wilkerson is like taking a mule to the Kentucky Derby. It's just different. I'm so country, my breath smells like stove wood, okay? And just so you understand a few things tonight and understand each other, we'll be fine. If you had time to find that, raise your hand if you got 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let me read a few verses to you here. Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. You know the story, so I don't have to get into too much of that. So Hannah rose up early after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up on a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now skip over, if you would, to chapter 4. Let me lay the foundation here real fast, if I could. Beginning in, look at verse 14 with me. Excuse me. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the, what? Seat, backward, by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now go back to chapter 1, if you would. And please listen to me for just a second. Let me set this up. Here's a man that sat down on God. Yeah. Stay with me. Here's a man that sat down on God and changed God's plan. Now listen to me tonight. I'm going to help you something. Many bad things happened to this man because he did that. Nothing good happened to him.
Right.
Now I want you to pick up his story. Here's what I want to say to you. Back In chapter 1, verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple in the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Please listen to me carefully for just a few minutes. If you study all the things that's in her tabernacle, it's an amazing story. And study what each one of them represents and how God could use each one of them. But you never find a chair there. But wait a minute. All of a sudden, there's a chair there. And he's sitting in it over against the pillar. Now, watch this carefully. She prayed and he sat. Is anybody listening to me? She prayed, he sat. All the things in the tabernacle, no mansion, no room for a chair, yet we find a seat in the temple. Someone has added to God's plan. And we're living in the day, this day, we're not just somebody, but a bunch of somebodies are adding to God's plan. Now, I'm going to make you mad, but I don't care. I'm leaving in 2 days. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, the Bible says this, "And thou," stay with me now, "add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Let God be true and every man a lie. When you disagree with this old King James Bible, you listen well. I don't care if you get mad at me. Listen to me carefully. When you disagree with it, that don't make God wrong. It makes you wrong. Amen. And then we find out in Revelation 22, 18, 19, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book." Now, wait a minute. He said, if any man does it.
Right.
He didn't say if some old dumb country boy ain't got no better sense or some intellect. He said, if any man do it.
Right.
Good. I don't care if you're smarter than God. I don't care if you know more than God. If any man do it, it's wrong. You can justify any way you want to. You know what? I'm at that age now where I've seen it all. I used to go to meetings like this, and I was the youngest dude there. I preached my first sermon up here in North Florida in 1971. And I would go to certain places like this. I was the youngest preacher there. Now I go, bless God, I'm the oldest. But you get to the point where people make excuses of why they do it.
Yeah.
Well, this is a new millennium. I've got a calendar.
Right.
And we come, and I'm talking, it's amazing to me that the old book is good enough to get me to heaven, but it ain't good enough to live by. The old book's good enough to save me, keep my sorry soul out of hell, but I can't trust it for anything else.
Yeah.
Well, what God really meant.
Yeah.
Listen, we don't need preachers telling people what God really meant. We need preachers telling people what God said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then he goes on in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command. Mark 7, 8, and 9. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And ye said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to make some of you mad, and I love you, and I don't know you from Adam's house, Captain. But I don't care what denomination you came out of.
Right.
Get away from your traditions
Amen.
And trust that book.
Amen.
Here's a man that sat down on God and changed the things of God, changed the plans of God, changed the way of God, and it messed up. And nothing good's ever said about a person that does that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, he added to God's plan. No seat, that means stay busy.
Yes.
Don't sit down on God.
Yes.
Don't sit down. You young man, listen to me carefully. If I told you that we never wanted to quit, I'd be a liar. You are staying with me, right?
Right.
So I can't tell you that you will never want to quit. Jeremiah had his Monday morning, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you're going to have your Monday mornings.
Yeah.
You'll have times when you'll work yourself silly. And you'll get so pumped up, so excited, because 1,500 people said it's going to be there Sunday.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to show up. You'll run that bus, go out there and change a tire in the mud, and you run that bus, nobody gets on it.
Right.
Oh, but that one time.
Yeah.
I was working in Tryon, Georgia, back in the days when I was working for Lee Robertson. He had chapels everywhere.
Yes.
And mine was up in Tryon, Georgia. And it was a mountain town, just the edge of Tennessee and Georgia. And I went up there, and I'd go up on Saturday, and we'd spend a night up there in the church, and we'd visit, and had one bus. And I'd run that bus all over the mountains. And I went up there one night, and this man had made some moonshine. He was drunker than he could go duck hunting with a rake. He was so high. And he came out there and said, if you come by here tomorrow to pick up my girls, I'm going to kill you. And I don't want this church stuff around here anymore. Don't bring that bus on my property anymore. And I couldn't sleep that night. Listen to me carefully. I'm a 26-year retired Marine. Supposed to be meaner than a junkyard dog. I was scared to death. And I said, I guess I'll have to miss that. And I was doing other bus routes. A few kids got on, a few adults got on. And I got close to that house, and I said, "Dadgummit, hang him." I just pulled right up in the yard. Here he came. But he came different. Instead of carrying that gun, he came like this. "That old lady of mine said I had to apologize to you." "So I guess I'm sorry. I guess the old lady and the two girls can go." Got in the bus, boy, I had went to church, and his 16-year-old daughter got saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Gotta make an Arab hug a Jew. Make you run around the block to kiss your mother-in-law right in the mouth. Amen. But some of us in this day and age, and I love you, but listen, please listen, and especially you preachers and you young guys, we got too many people setting down on God.
Right.
And that's exactly what he did.
Right.
And when he sat down, watch me carefully, he got away from God.
Right.
Be very careful. Don't sit down on God. If you read chapters 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, you'd find out what happens when we sit down. Now, you know the story here of Samuel and his mother and all the things that went on there. You know the story. This man sat down on God, and when he died, you know what he was doing? Sitting down.
Right.
Never changed. It's just a short distance away from God, but boy, it's a long way back.
Yeah. Good.
That's why you come to church. That's why people try to keep you fired up and keep you going.
Amen.
Keep you doing something. Bless God. But you'll see what happens. Now, this is great to me. He said, she praised.
Yeah.
He said, she rejoiced.
Yeah.
He said, she sung a song. Amen. Have you lost your song?
Good.
If you have, it's because you've been sinning.
I
guarantee you, when you're busy for God, listen, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. If I play the radio, I get static. But I find out the busier I get, the more I do for God, I can make a joyful noise. Woo, son. Now, I was getting ready to come over here this afternoon. We got over here, and Brother Barry showed me where I was going to stay and everything, and I was in there getting ready. Woo, and all of a sudden, I caught myself singing. And I can't sing a lick. That's why I don't like Chad Stanley. He can sing. But have you lost your praise? It's because you're setting.
Yeah.
Have you lost your rejoicing? It's because you're setting. Have you lost your song? It's because you're setting. He set, she sang. By the way, he slept and Samuel heard God.
Yeah.
Is anybody listening to me? Read the story.
Right.
He slept. And young Samuel heard the word of God. Good night, him. Ooh, I'm getting excited. By the way, he said and his people suffered. They were smitten.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
When are we ever going to care for our city?
Right. Come on.
We got to the point now, we don't care for our church members.
Come on.
We don't care for each other. He said, the people suffered. By the way, he said, and his children lived in sin. He said, and his children live in sin. He said, his sons died.
Yes.
He said, and someone else took his place.
Yes.
Amen. He made himself comfortable.
Right.
He decided that, listen to me carefully, I'm going to do the easy things. I'm going to do it the easy way. That's not what God told him to do.
Right.
By the way, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. He said, "You know what I'm doing? I'm going to come over here and sit in his chair. I'm going to lean against the corner of the pole of God. I'll lean against the pulpit. I'll lean against my Bible. I'll lean against soul winning. I'll lean against bus routes. I'll lean against preaching the truth of the Bible. I'll lean against those things, but I'm not going to get off the seat and do them."
Yeah.
He literally made himself comfortable. By the way, we sit down on God when we just can't endure.
Yeah.
And yet we're supposed to endure as a good soldier.
Right.
Now, I see these fellows in here tonight, what we had to go through in Vietnam or any other war you might have been in. You're set in a position knowing any second some sniper in a tree or some ambush could kill you. Some rocket or some mortar could come in and blow up and kill you. You live with that. You know that any second now somebody can ambush you and the bad things could start happening in your life. That's the care of it. Christian's life is the same thing.
That's right.
You don't ever know if you... We're happy tonight.
That's right.
What about the x-ray comes back tomorrow and you got cancer?
Yeah, right.
You're excited tonight. Tomorrow mama has a heart attack.
Yeah.
You're excited tonight. Tomorrow here comes the papers. You've been sued again. I've been where I am 44 years, been sued 18 times. Never lost a case, but I've been sued. Amen. I mean, stupid stuff. Endure as a good soldier. The enemy's out there.
Right.
You could be ambushed.
Right.
You could be attacked.
Yeah.
Hey, good people do get attacked.
That's right.
By the way, bad things do happen to good people.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Death has no age limit. And just because you go to church or you're a preacher or something don't mean something bad can't happen in your family.
That's right.
He made himself to not endure. He caused himself to just... He said, I'm just going to be comfortable. Just to be comfortable. Isn't it amazing? We have cars that can get us to church from 30 miles away in 20 minutes. I remember when people used to have to walk to church and ride on a mule and wagon. They say that a wagon can cover about 5 miles a day. And they had no problem going to church back years ago.
Right.
Amen. Yes. We got everything in our favor and can't make it to church.
Right.
Why? Because we want to be comfortable. We want it easy. He made himself comfortable. Number two, he favored his family over God.
Right.
He favored his family over God. Well, let's look at a few verses here. Let's see, chapter 2. Let's begin verse 12. Oh, it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. That means of the devil. Now watch this carefully. They knew not the Lord. And the priest custom with the people was that, I don't have time to read it all. The priest custom was when the meat would come by, they'd take a hook, reach in there, take it out, and that was their... A tithe of the tithe, in other words. It was for the priest. That's the way the men of God got taken care of.
Right.
When they would roast, you had to wait till the fire, the fat was roasted off of it, and then you take your portion. Well, these guys said, hey, give me what I'm asking you for right now, or I'll take it from you. And they defiled the offerings of God.
Right.
They knew not God. And his daddy did nothing about it. He favored his family over God. Now, let me make you mad. Ready? What are your children getting away with? What's our children getting away with today? Huh? I know I'm older than dirt. My social security number is 3. But if you'd said no to my daddy, you'd be pushing up daisies.
Yeah.
Even if no was the right answer, you couldn't say no. You had to say no, sir. But he favored his family. What is your kids getting away with? Number 3, he caused someone else to do what he was supposed to do.
Right.
Look back at chapter 1 there at verse 1. Just skip back here real fast. I already passed it, didn't I? Go back to chapter 1 and verse 1. Now there were a certain man of... a word we don't say in New Mexico, of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Billy and Joe and Jack, and his son was somebody, and his son was Jill, and his son was Tommy, and the son of Zeph. Now watch this carefully. But he was an Ephraimite, not a Levite. Now, you saw that in your Bible or not? Did anybody see that?
Yeah.
He was not a Levite. Is anybody listening?
Right.
He was not a Levite. He was an Ephraimite. Guess what? Samuel was not a Levite, but he did the work.
Right.
He did the work.
Yeah.
I'll never be a Mickey Carter. But I can be the best Don Chitty that I can be.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll never be a Jack Cowles. I'll never be a Lee Robertson. I worked for Dr. Robertson for 5.5 years. He was walking. He had a. I drove him to many meetings. Look, by the way, I learned more in that car than I ever did in class. And he, I was walking him from the church over down, and he had an alley that went back to his office. And he was a good mood. We were having fun. All of a sudden, he attacked me. I said, Dr. Robertson, I want to be just like you. Oh. He grabbed me and literally threw me against the blocks of that old red brick building. He said, God don't need another Lee Robertson. He needs a Don Chetney. Boy, I'd never say anything to him about that again. Man, you can be Lee Robertson. I'll be Don, yeah. Listen, please listen. You can do the work. I'm just a college student. I'm just a church member. I'm just a lady in the church. I'm just a teenager. You may not be the pastor or the assistant pastor. You may not be the song leader. You may not be one of the teachers at school. You may not even be one of the best Sunday school teachers. But you can work for God. Amen. You can work, I promise you, for God. He made light of God's word. Can you imagine getting to the point in your life where you get so far away from God that God quits talking to you and starts talking to someone else? It happened in his life. He ran over and said, yes, sir, did you call me? He said, what? Boy, can't you see I'm asleep? You young preachers ought to just go to bed. Good night. Yeah. A few minutes later, hey, what? I'll do whatever you want. What is it you want? Son, I didn't call you. It kept going on, and finally he said, listen, at least you had enough sense to think about it for a minute. Yeah. He said, you go back over there, and if it happens again, say, here am I.
But
God. Listen carefully. You don't want God to use you? He'll put you on the shelf and use somebody else. My wife came to Gainesville, Florida years ago to take care of her mother before she passed away. And when she left, I cried for a week. Not because I missed her. I didn't have nothing to eat. And I went into that big closet she has. And I saw something that said, Beanie Weenies. I can handle that. I was going to take that can of Beanie Weenies. I was going to open them, put them in a pot, and heat them on high because that's the only thing I know to do. I don't know how to cook on low. I got that can of Beanie Weenies, and I went to open them, and I couldn't find a can opener. Why do you women hide stuff in the kitchen? This ain't an Easter egg hunt. Matter with you? Then I went up, and the electric one wouldn't work. I got so aggravated. I went back into that pantry, and I shoved that stinking can of Beanie Weenies on that shelf, and one fell on the floor, and I looked, and it had a pop top. I took that can of Beanie Weenies, and I began to whistle. And a man can burn anything on hot with a thin pop. But you know what it reminded me of? Some of us won't let God open us up and use us.
Yeah.
Some of us will go around with a pop top on. Help yourself, Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to get to.
Amen.
He got to the point in his life where God had stopped using him.
Yes.
Had stopped even talking to him.
Yes.
Does God talk to you anymore? I'm not talking about spooky stuff. Preacher, the other night, laying in my bed. Ooh. All of a sudden, I heard a grabble in my gut. Tears came to my eyes. And I burped real loud. I knew that God was there. No, you ate too many onions, stupid, before you went to bed. Tammy Faye Baker said one time she was putting her makeup on and she saw Jesus in the mirror. You put that much makeup in your eye, you ain't telling what you'll see. Amen. Then the dangerous part, watch this carefully in chapter 3. Chapter 3. I'm just going to read verses 2 and 3 real fast for you. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out. Ooh. Hey, I'm asleep, so what? The light went out. It don't seem like that big of a deal, does it? But you better go back and do some studying.
That's right.
Because when he let the light of God go out, it represented the zeal of God. Yep. It represented the power of God. By the way, it represented the presence of God. Yep. It represented the passion of God. But that's gone now. We're living in a day and age, and you fellas, I don't mean to get on to you. I know I'm just saying four things to you tonight in this sermon, but listen to me carefully. Most young people have no clue what the power of God is.
Yes, right.
I mean, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Yeah. Just like you young adults, you have no clue. We used to break a child's will. You have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's why your kids act like they were born in hell.
Yeah.
Raised by the devil.
Yeah.
Amen. But most of you don't know, you know why? The light went out.
That's right.
God's light is gone. You have no idea about the zeal of God. Man, I graduated from college on Monday night. Never went one second on deputation. I had a wife and two little boys about that tall. And Friday morning at 4 o'clock, I was on the mission field. Same week. Now, I wouldn't suggest you do that, because we almost starved to death. But my zeal was such I couldn't wait. Those Indians are dying and going to hell and nobody gives a rip. I've got to get there. Because there was a light burning from on high that caught a gleam in this eye that went down to this heart. That light represented the zeal of God. That light represented the power of God. Oh, as long as the light burns. And by the way, God didn't die.
Amen.
He's still on the throne.
Yes, that's right.
By the way, he's still on the throne in the bad times.
Right.
Just like he is in the good times.
Right.
Amen. Right. You know, if you lived on a mountaintop long enough, before long you'd fall off.
Yeah.
There's actually safety in the valley, not on a mountaintop. But when it represents the power of God, and we don't have that, it represents the presence of God. That was their way of saying, and that, by the way, that was his job.
Yeah.
That's what God told him to do. Because when people would see that, they'd be encouraged. Are you listening? God's still here.
Amen.
I don't know how old Dr. Carter is. I really don't. I think, if I'm going to get in trouble, I think he's in his 80s. Am I close? Whew, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You turn 70 and you forget things. Someone said when you get old, you just don't care what you say in the pulpit. A preacher friend of mine said, well, you've never cared. But anyway, it's when you see someone like Dr. Carter, it lets you know the light is still on.
Amen.
You are sometimes jot down what Dr. Carter believes. Look at him for a few minutes, then ask yourself, do you believe those things? You see, the light represented the presence of God. But here's the thing I like. It represented the passion of God. How can a man in his 80s get up here and kick and stomp, preach about the King James Bible, standards and convictions, living right, doing right? He recently told a fellow that got mad at him, came to church. He came to join, and he got mad at Brother Carter. But his wife enjoyed what was said, and they wanted to join the church. Brother Carter just put his arm around him and said, "Son, this church ain't for you. You'd never be happy here." How can he do that? How can a man in his 70s still just go day after day after day after day? Hard as he can go. The passion of God. Amen. Down here, y'all got the passion for football. It's amazing what comes out of your mouth at a football game. You will yell at the TV and call them stupid. "You dumb referee. You dumb coach. You dumb player." Wait a minute. You're yelling at a TV? Who's dumb? But you got passion for it, don't you?
Yeah.
You got passion for it. I think as long as you keep score, you'll try to win. Yeah. Amen. If we go outside and see them spit the fuzz, I'm spitting my guts out, boy. I ain't losing. Why? There's passion. Yeah. Why can't we have that passion for God?
Right.
Why can't we have that passion for church?
Right.
By the way, why can't we have that passion for our preacher?
Yeah.
Why can't we have that passion for our church and that passion for soul winning? And that passion for running buses?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good night. I picked up this little Indian boy for years on my bus. Years! And a little mean, if I had a gun, I'd have killed him. Every time he'd get off of my bus, he'd run way out there where I couldn't catch him and cuss me out. I'm just telling the truth. The next Sunday morning, he'd be sitting out there, didn't know if he should get on that bus or not. Can I ride the bus? Yeah, get on in here, you sorry outfit. Let him off, cuss me out. This went on forever. I mean, for a long time. He got older and older. At 13, he came to me crying. He said, "Preacher, I ain't saved."
Hey.
I said, "Duh!" Can I tell you what he's doing now at 32? At 32 years old, can I tell you what he's doing now? Driving the bus. Mmm. Used to have a little four-year-old kid, a little girl, a little Indian girl that went to our four-year-old kindergarten. She would ride the bus only if she could sit on my knee and help me drive. Now, I know in Florida they'd put you in prison. I don't care. I'm on a reservation. There ain't no cops. I'd put her on that knee, bring her to church. You know what she's doing now? Teaches in our Christian school.
Amen.
I'm telling you, something's got to happen. And then let me hurry. Hey, don't see me telling that. I ain't going to hurry. I'm going to get through, though. Not only do all those other things, but listen to me carefully. He let himself go. Yep. Now I'm going to make about half of you mad, so look up here. Put an asterisk by your notes. You can look at people in church and tell if they've let themselves go or not. You no longer care how you dress, how you look. You go to a mall anymore. By the way, you don't have to go overseas. Matter of fact, it'd be refreshing probably to go overseas. Any mall, any state, any city, and just sit on the bench. By the way, that's what they put benches in malls for us old men. Yeah. A woman will go over here to this rack with 52 dresses on and go, "No." I'm sitting there going, "I'll wait on the outside." So I go out and sit on that bench. But you can sit on that bench, and it looks to me like the uglier you can dress, the cooler you are. Men are wearing women's clothes. Women wear men's clothes.
Right.
And I'm going to get myself in trouble because I don't give a rip. But it's amazing to me that this woman likes this woman, but one of them has to look like a man.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. This dude over here got a boyfriend. But one of them wants to dress like a girl. I was coming on the airplane. In the back. That's where poor people sit. In the middle, in the back. And this dudette was one of the, what are they called now? Not stewardesses. What on the airplane? What is it? Flight attendants. And he was talking to the couple in the very, very, very back row, and I was up here, and they talked to something about a casino. And the dude said, "Oh, my husband works there." Now, folks, my Marine Corps blood's just not very cool. I couldn't wait to get off that airplane. As I walked out the two front, what did y'all say? They were flight attendants. Was women. And they were talking how cute that new dude was. And I walked by and said, "He's a fag." Get your heads up. Coward, you wanted to say it. But he left himself go. Just didn't care anymore. You realize who you represent?
Yeah, that's right.
In the 70s, you can't remember this, you're too young. But in the 70s, they claim, I don't know if it's true or not, I wouldn't know how to do it. They claim you could take some of the recordings people were making and play them backwards, and it was satanic worship. I don't know that. I've heard preachers preach on it. And I was married, going through a war, and had kids before I ever got saved. Amen. So I didn't know all those things. I'm in college with married and had two kids with kids who knew more than I knew. I couldn't find John 3:16 in the Bible when I got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I better shut up. I'm going to get myself in so much trouble. But we do let ourselves go, don't we?
Yes.
We sit back and we say, "Would to God I could go back," but you can't. But you can't. Yeah. But you could start from here on to do it right.
Yeah.
In chapter 4, verse 18, "And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, for he had judged Israel 40 years. Then you get down to chapter 16, and for sake of time, you know the story. You get down to chapter 16, I think it's verses 6 from 11. And he's there to select the next king to take Saul's place. Remember the story? And Jesse brings all his sons forward. Is that not what happened? But one. And he said, no. He said, "Is there any other son?" He said, "Well, yeah. But he's small and ruddy. And he's got to take care of sheep." He said, "Well, go get him." He said, "Man, it may take a while before we can get him back over here." Isn't that what he said?
Yep.
He said, "No, stay with me. Stay with me." He said, he said, "We're going to sit down." Watch this now. "We will not sit down till he come hither." Yeah. So if you guys are wanting to sit down, we ain't sitting down until he gets here.
Yeah.
Now, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Why are we sitting down on God and Jesus ain't even come back yet?
Come on.
It's easy to get up and talk about the news and politics and all the things that God said was going to happen that has already happened.
Right.
So any second now, Jesus could come.
Right.
"Oh, my great-grandma said that. Mama said it. He ain't come yet." I hope you don't believe he's coming. I know that's a stupid thing for a preacher to say. Brother, I hope they don't think he's coming. Because in the hour you think not, that's when he's coming.
Right.
Amen. Amen. But he is coming.
Yes.
We will not sit. In other words, we will not sit down on God. We'll not stop the work until Jesus comes.
Good.
Don't sit down on God. Don't sit down on your family. Don't sit down on your country. Don't sit down on souls. Don't sit down on the work of God. Don't sit down on your Bible. Don't sit down on your man of God. Don't sit down on your church. Don't sit down. Someone once said, a wise, wise man from Waterflow, New Mexico, said this one time. The way to the top is to get off your bottom.